said Presidents Trump and Zelensky agreed this could be the first step toward the full end of the war. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Israel's military continues hammering away at Gaza, determined to wipe out Hamas.
Israel has said its airstrikes targeted Hamas commanders. Its defense minister has since threatened the residents of Gaza with what he calls total devastation if they do not remove the group from power and return the remaining hostages.
The BBC's Tom Bateman. Slightly more Americans applied for unemployment last week. The jobless claims rose 2,000 to 223,000 for the week ending March 15th. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow is up 46 points, NASDAQ ahead 36. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man aged 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for a new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 800-786-9161. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-786-9161. Remember, 1-800-786-9161. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Cell phone video of a deadly shooting in Baltimore City has gone viral. 31-year-old Shaikima Turner was shot just before 6 p.m. Tuesday in the 700 block of East Preston Street, and she was taken to a hospital where she died. The video shows a woman with a gun chasing Turner down and firing her weapon while other people were out on the street. A witness told WJZ-TV the incident started with arguments over a man. Detectives are reviewing the video and speaking with those involved. City police are investigating a Wednesday night shooting in West Baltimore. Officers responded to a shot spotter alert in the 1700 block of McCullough Street and found a man with a gunshot wound to the leg. The victim was taken to a hospital where he's listed in stable condition. Police are trying to determine what led to the shooting. There's no word on a suspect. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Stay and relax with Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills with easy check-in using their digital key. Just download their Hilton Honors app. Whether it's a corporate event in Owings Mills, a leisure event, or get-together for drinks at the grill, you can always wake up to a made-to-order delicious breakfast to start your day. Reach out to their sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills at 410-654-0030. You can always count on the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, making it right.
Rapid Radio's our instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. Business owners can keep in touch with up to 200 staff members at one time. Go to rapidradios.com now for up to 60% off and free shipping.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Could Tomioki Sugano be the key to the Orioles' rotation this year? The 35-year-old free agent has been unhittable in four spring starts, and he goes for the final time before opening day tonight, when the Birds host the Yankees at 6:05 on Masson. Sugano, four games, 10.1 innings pitched, no runs allowed this spring. Maryland touched down in Seattle yesterday, anticipating their Friday matchup with Grand Canyon University. Head coach Kevin Willer telling the media that his experience in the Big Ten has had a profound effect on him.
This conference has made me a much better coach. It's interesting, as you get older, I'm 49, I was still the third youngest coach in this league.
Game time is 4:35 p.m. tomorrow. And finally, with the NCAA basketball tournament in full gear today, I look back at some of the great moments in tournament history. This one, perhaps the greatest of them all. March 28th, 1992. The play has become simply known as the shot.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
The great Vern Lundquist on the call for CBS. Leitner at the buzzer in the Elite Eight at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. Duke 104, Kentucky 103. The Wildcats denied back-to-back championships. Coming up in 30 minutes, make way for the machine. And that is Stein on Sports.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
At 10:06, here's the exclusive WCB Weather Channel forecast.
Rain on the way, some showers this afternoon, 68 today. Tomorrow, a sunny, breezy, and cooler day, more like March, 58. Saturday, warming up, partly cloudy, 66 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 53 degrees in Dundalk, 54 in Owings Mills, and 56 in Moncton. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Thursday. Happy first day of spring. You know, just put a smile on your face. You woke up, you are blessed to be alive. Let's enjoy the day. And I did hear it. I did. I heard 65 degrees on Saturday. Dear weather gods, make it happen. You know, I was so excited about yesterday, but it was so cloudy, it felt a little chilly. So there was that. There was that letdown. But like I said, it's better than waking up and having it 12 degrees outside. So I'll take it. I'll take it. You know, right now we are talking about taxes and fees and the increases, because that's the biggest topic here in the state of Maryland. And I do want to move on to other topics, of course, but I wanted to make sure that you heard this piece from Mackenzie Frost with Fox 45, because this conversation and this debate continues. And it's a little frustrating because you've got Senator Bill Ferguson, who's pretending like he doesn't know what they're looking to do, or he's pretending as if he doesn't understand what Governor Westmore means by what he says broad, right? It's like he's playing coy, and it's like, I don't want you playing coy with my money. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, there's things where it's like, all right, you can understand this is about politics. No, this is about my money. This is about my money. I don't want you playing coy with this. Also, just like a little note here, David Jones with Curtis Bay, in Curtis Bay, he'll be joining us at 11 o'clock. If you remember, we were talking about that CSX train collision and then all the pollution. I'm told that there is an update, and so I told you that I would bring David back when there is an update, so he'll give that to us at 11 a.m. But again, back to the debate on the tax increases. I want you to just take a listen to this, and then we're also going to talk about a Baltimore Sun report. Because many of you have asked how much money we brought in from the cannabis industry in 2024. I have that number for you as well. So take a listen.
In March of last year, Delegate David Moon floated a decrease in sales tax, but applying that tax to services. As proposed, it would have generated $772 million in fiscal year 2025. There was a hearing.
Truly discuss an expansion of services into the sales tax regime.
But the bill didn't go anywhere.
We have one bill today.
Fast forward to this March.
With the floor falling out on our fiscal ship, that we need more options.
Delegate Moon back with a business-to-business service tax plan, estimated to generate $1 billion to help the state offset the growing $3 billion budget deficit. The business community, small and large, fiercely opposing the plan, arguing it would push them out of the state or out of business. Governor Westmore,
everybody,
drawing the line in the sand.
A broad B2B tax will not happen in the state of Maryland.
Drilling down to get details, though, has been difficult. The governor didn't take any questions Monday. As negotiations continue, sources say service taxes are on the table. Tuesday,
I think it's still in conversation.
Senate President Bill Ferguson confirmed that service taxes are part of the negotiation.
Can you give us any indication as to the list of services in which this would apply to?
I don't want to get too far in front of things, but we're trying to have a forward look at where industry will be most impacted by technology and how that impacts society and the workforce, and set up in this moment, find a way to have our tax system better reflect the modern economy.
In a statement Wednesday, Senate Minority Leader Steve Hershey says, quote, the governor is trying to spin this as a win while targeting consulting services in the IT and data industries with a 3% tax. Senator Hershey says this tax would impact the same industries like cybersecurity, AI, and quantum that Governor Moore says he wants to grow. Adding, how do we grow our economy if we stifle innovation instead of driving efficiency in government by relying on these industries? Sources tell Fox 45 News a set tax rate has not been finalized. And again, leadership has not provided any further details, though, about what services will be taxed. The only thing we know...
On the broader question of whether there is an agreement on the budget... Everyone will know when there is an agreement when we have a joint announcement. And, you know, we're very close.
All right. Now, Senator Bill Ferguson and, of course, Mackenzie Frost with Fox 45, he's saying that they still don't know. And they're not in agreement, but they do know. They do know. And he's the president, right? So he's going to have most likely the final say here. And he has a number in his mind. Now, as I noted, the Baltimore Sun had reported that when it comes to the cannabis industry, in 2024, Maryland made $72 million. Again, $72 million from the cannabis industry in Maryland in just 2024. If you did not know, there is a 9% sales tax on cannabis in the state. So 9%, somehow we got to $72 million. Of course, there was no mention on where that money actually went. Which I honestly, I would expect the Baltimore Sun to really know. Not to say that they're, you know, not doing their job. I'm just saying a lot of this is kept hush hush. When we were talking to Glenn Gilhar on Tuesday, he was talking about House Bill 930 and the fact that this, it's been hush hush that if you pay into the Maryland Health Exchange and you pay, every time you pay your premium, a dollar goes to this fund to fund abortions in the state. A lot of people didn't know that. I didn't even know that. Okay. And then that money apparently is just sitting there. So when it comes to cannabis here, I don't really know. I mean, there could be $72 million sitting somewhere, or it could have been used for something yet, but we just don't know at this time. And that's how they keep things so hush here in the state of Maryland, which is wrong. Obviously, it's wrong. But I just wanted to give you that number because a lot of people were asking, and I was wondering too, because we were told casinos, right? Casinos, the lottery. Cannabis. These are all the things that they say, oh, we're going to bring all this money. We need it. We need it. We need it. Well, where did it go? Where? I got John and Glenn Arm. John, you wanted to weigh in?
Hey, Kim. Yeah, I guess Bill Ferguson, I got to use his proper name, William Claiborne Ferguson IV, also known as Fergie, the Duchess of Annapolis. It wants to keep us all in COBOL. You know, he wants IT to go to Ohio's hosting data centers, Virginia's hosting data centers, all these other states are out there. They have investment. They have big construction jobs. They have big operating contracts. You know, all the trades and everybody are working out there. But Fergie wants us to be, you know, only in the dependency business.
Right. Right.
How many lung infections can you treat with $72 million? You know, if you've got half the state smoking pot, all those people are going to get older, and they're going to have emphysema. They're going to be on, you know, they're going to be on the oxygen bottle. Maybe they should take that $72 million and put it in an accrual fund, you know, fund to pay for these later health, you know, these later Medicaid expenses. And obviously, they're going to be on Medicaid because they're so high all the time, they can't get their brains together to get up and go to work in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Believe it or not, John, I do. I have the numbers on how many people are on Medicaid in the state. And I was referring to Angela Alsobrooks earlier because she was lying to a lot of people about what's going on there. So we will talk about that. But I'm with you, right? They want us to be dependent on other states. And that's basically what we did with our energy. And now we're in this crisis. And they're like, oh, well, let's blame BGE. Or I don't know what happened. It must be Trump, you know? And so it's just like we're on this cycle of deceit. And obviously people in office that I don't think could even run a lemonade stand at this point.
Well, you know, they took the over in Middle River, they took the towers down that we used to use to find our way back home and from fishing.
Yeah.
And guess what they did? As quick as they could, they locked it up in some kind of a county park, you know? But basically, it's a great site for any other, you know, for a nuclear facility or any other kind of energy producing site. But no. And Fort Howard, they're gonna develop Fort Howard. They're gonna develop Carroll Island, and Johnny O is in the middle of all of it.
Yeah,
he's such a dirty, dirty rat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got a friend that told me that he was friends with him, and I just kind of looked and like, really? I mean, look, it's not even about politics at this point. When somebody is, you know, like you said, he's not a good person inside, right? There's always like this conniving, thieving, you know, idea running through his head. Like, I don't understand that part of it. And yet now he's in Congress where he can do this on such a larger scale. It's disheartening.
Well, the only thing that's good about him, and you know, as the county exec or in Congress, is that he's not in a classroom with any of our kids.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I can only imagine what that would be like. John, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Take care, Ken.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. And you know what? I got to reach back out and find out whether or not Fort Howard has any updates. Because I know there were some emails that went out to Senator Sailing and others. And so I'll reach back out and see where that is because I want to make sure I always bring you the updates. But I just wanted to bring that to you as well as far as we're, you know, cannabis 2024, $72 million here in the state of Maryland. Senator Bill Ferguson pretending as if he has no idea what these tax increases are going to look like. And so we'll end up waiting. We've got to wait now, I guess, what, March 31st, that Monday. We'll find out exactly what they plan to do. And there isn't going to be any opposition. Let's be honest. Of course, Republicans in Annapolis, yes, they're going to complain. They're going to, you know, say this can't come. You know, this can't happen. But when we are in such a minority, it's so difficult. It really, truly is. And again, Stephen, who called before the top of the hour, I am already reaching out. I did send an email over to County Executive Clausmeyer to see if she could come on the show and do an interview. We'll see what they say back. And then also I texted a friend to see if he was in attendance at that town hall, and I'll definitely get some more information. But if they're there talking about DEI and all these other things, think about that. Did it sound like they were really talking about the tax increase or the rise in crime and violence? I mean, they were right in Perry Hall. There's a rise in crime in Perry Hall. Do you think they were talking about that? This is the pickle that we're in. And it's a shame that you have so many voters in Maryland that, number one, they appreciate the way things are going because they're making money off of it. Or number two, they're too, I don't want to call people dumb. they're too brainwashed to be able to open their eyes and really truly see things for what they are. And that's a problem. All right, coming up next, I do want to get into this next topic, and that is the shuttering of the Department of Education. Of course, there's an executive order that's going to be signed today. You probably heard about it. And President Trump, I believe he's doing it around 4 p.m. As I noted to Sean Casey during the morning drive, during that tease, I saw online where there were many Moms for America members that were posting pictures last night. They just arrived at their hotels, and they were right there by the White House. So he's definitely signing it. I know there was question whether or not it was going to be today or tomorrow, but it's definitely happening today, like I said, around 4 p.m., and there are a lot of governors across the country that are weighing in. Obviously, you have people like Governor Ron DeSantis and others who apparently will be at the signing of the executive order, but they're happy about shuttering the Department of Education. They want to be able to have that money because they support school choice, and they believe, I'm sure, that they can make sure some of these kids get, you know, voucher programs, things like that. And if they have all the money in-house, they can really make those decisions themselves. Well, there's some opposition to this. And as I was asking Sean this morning, I don't understand the opposition, considering even in the blue states how greedy the teachers union and the administrators are. But as Sean pointed out, it could be a situation where you could, you know what, this could happen in swing states, where you have a situation where there are people in office that are a bit more conservative and they don't like some of the curriculum, like, you know, the transgender issues and the gender identity stuff. And perhaps they like to be able to refer to the Department of Education and handle it because they don't want to get in the middle of it. But I guess I look at it and say, it's time to put your big boy pants on. Either you are fine with this gender ideology being taught to kids, or you're not. Okay? You've got to come on one side of the coin or not. You know, all this like, oh, I don't want to do this because politically it's going to hurt me. This has got to stop. This has got to stop. So we'll talk about that when we get back. But real quick, I want you to go to WCBM.com because the poll question of the day, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate, is shuttering the Department of Education a good idea? Yes or no? Again, WCBM.com, poll question of the day, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Is shuttering the Department of Education a good idea? Yes or no? We'll discuss further when we get back.
Is your wear and carry permit about to expire? Don't wait until it's too late. At Free State Gun Range, we offer initial and renewal courses to keep you prepared and protected. Our certification is valid for 2 years, so you can be confident you're up to date and ready to go. Whether you're renewing or starting fresh, our expert instructors provide hands-on, top-notch training. Lock in your training now before prices go up. Secure your spot today. Your safety depends on it. Call Free State Gun Range now.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
My name's Danny Manoff, and I am the president and CEO of Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. We're a unique company that helps attorneys run their practices more efficiently as certified Clio partners. And more importantly, we also help the average person that can't afford or doesn't want to use an attorney to deal with their legal issues. If you're a pro se litigant, we always feel you should seek counsel, but if you want to proceed with the help of experts, please be in touch. IPSvirtual.com. Thank you again.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey, guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, insane Democrats at the U.S. Institute of Peace refuse to allow Doge representatives into the building. Not a good way to tick off the new boss. Plus, leftists are attacking Tesla dealerships. Y'all about tired of this crap yet? Noon to 3 on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Did you go to the website yet? What? You didn't go? Come on, guys. WCBM.com. Poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Is shuttering the Department of Education a good idea? Yes or no? I'll let you know what the numbers are right now. 91% of you say yes. 9% of you say no. Really? You know what? If you're on the no side of things, I'd like to know why. I'd like to know more. 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680. We are going to get into this discussion coming up after the break. I just wanted to put this out here real quick because, of course, I'm good friends with Sir Michael Singleton, and he's often on CNN, and I call him the liberal slayer because that's basically what he does time and time again. And he was spot on with his analysis yesterday when it comes to the Democrat Party. I wonder if you agree. Take a listen.
But I think the problem is no one knows what the Democratic Party stands for. No one knows what their policy positions are. I think that's a part of the reason why many Democrats are angry. You look at the recent data that just came out, mm-hmm. most younger men, Republicans. People of color starting to teeter more Republicans. Younger voters writ large starting to teeter more Republicans because they look at the Democratic Party for answers and solutions for a litany of problems that they have experienced over the last 8 years. And the Democratic Party has made a lot of promises, but they haven't delivered much on many of those promises, John. So this is an opportunity for the Republican Party, I would argue, to actually offer solutions to the problems that Americans
do. And of course, everybody got upset on that panel. And you know what's so great about it? And I tell this to Shermichael all the time. I'm like, the way that you sit there, and it's just like, you know, he's sitting there like he's like sitting at his kitchen table at home, right? He's not sitting up perfectly. He doesn't have his hands folded perfectly. He doesn't have notes in front of him, you know, going over the notes. He's just sitting in the chair, and it almost looks like he could just start spinning the chair at any moment because he's just so relaxed. But I think, you know, what he pointed out there is so true. The Democrats right now, and I say on the national level and even here in the state, they don't have a solid message. What is the message? What do they stand for? Because, you know, right now, I mean, could they go back and say, oh, we really stand for trans, gender-affirming care, we want taxpayers to pay for it, or, you know, we really stand for abortions and we want taxpayers to pay for it. I think when you looked at the numbers in the last election there, in November 2024, even Democrats, registered voters, even they didn't like that message. They rejected it, that message, mostly, I would say, especially in swing states like Pennsylvania. Think about it. That's why I believe Trump did well in Pennsylvania. There was a hard push for that. And when you're looking at, you know, the fact that he got the popular vote, when you're looking at the young people that voted are Republican or even just for Trump in general, or the minorities, look at the Latin vote. I guess you're going to say Hispanic, right? Is that what that block is called, the Hispanic vote? Look at that voting block. Look at suburban women. Remember how we kept hearing in, what was it, maybe 2020, 2021? We kept hearing that President Trump is doing awful with suburban women. Women don't like him. They don't like the whole story with Stormy Daniels. They don't like the fact that he's got all these, you know, ex-wives and all these kids by different women. And da, 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 right? We were told he doesn't speak nicely to women, so suburban women don't get on board. Well, where is that conversation right now? It doesn't exist because there was a large portion of suburban women that did vote for Trump. They can't talk about suburban women right now. You know, and so it's very interesting. They have to get a message, but since they don't have one, this is why I thought the tax revolt rally in Annapolis yesterday was great. This is why I'm glad that they're doing the Maryland Freedom Caucus and that the messaging is really getting out there. If there was ever a time for the Republicans to swoop in and get a piece of that minority vote, get a larger piece of that suburban women vote, to get a larger piece of the Hispanic vote or the young, what is it, Gen Z, millennial. If there was ever a time to get those votes, it's now. It's now. And when you're thinking about all those that are graduating college and they talk about how they can't afford to get a home or an apartment and they're having a hard time making ends meet, some of them are moving back home after college because they just can't afford everything. Now is the time. That's why I'm praising the Republicans here in the state. Now is the time. And so hopefully we'll see more of that coming out of the RNC on the national level. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't seen it as of lately. And I just don't want us to wait too late. I really don't. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about the shuttering of the Department of Education. And also, I told you, I caught Senator Angela Alsobrooks in a lie. And I called her out. And then on top of that lie, the analyst at Fox 45, who's actually a nice guy, but he continued that lie in her comment section, so I had to send some facts to him. We'll talk about that also.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. An American man abducted more than 2 years ago while visiting Afghanistan as a tourist has been released by the Taliban. The State Department says George Glesman was freed under a deal brokered by the U.S. and Qatari negotiators. The Justice Department playing hardball with a federal district judge over the administration's deportation policies. An executive order expected to be signed today by President Trump could set the stage for a constitutional showdown. The order abolishes the congressionally created Department of Education. Used home sales rose 4.2% last month from January. That, according to the National Association of Realtors, however, sales fell 1.2% compared with February of a year ago. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 208 points, the Nasdaq ahead 106. More details, srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Italo, your host at Liberatore's in Bel Air, inviting you to try our outstanding daily specials featuring three-course meals at great fixed price. Tuesday, shrimp night plus $2 soft all mules. Wednesday, steak night plus $2 soft martinis. Thursday, seafood night plus $2 off sangrias. And Sunday's pasta night with half-price bottles of wine under $60. Come and enjoy the fun. Visit us at 562 Baltimore Pike, or for more info, Google Liberatore's Restaurant in Bel Air.
With all the uncertainty in the world, you should have some cash and backup paper copies of your important documents. Don't be like my friend Bill, who keeps his cash in his mattress. Crestlock.com has a showroom full of safes with Fire and Berg ratings and a full selection of gun safes. We are located at 10015 Plaski Highway in Middle River. Give Crestlock.com a call at 410-256-7800. That's 410-256-7800. Ask for Ashley. She can recommend the best safe that will fit your needs.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
With opening day now just a week away, there are six non-roster invitees still playing in Sarasota, and depending on injuries, a couple could make opening day, including Vimeo Machin.
Ground ball past the right side of the bump, out of the reach of the second baseman, and the shortstop splits the difference into center field. Mayo's running on contact around third, coming in to score on an RBI base hit by Vimeo Machin. Another base hit, another run driven in by the Machine.
Call courtesy of Pittsburgh TV in an earlier game against the Pirates. Machin batting .410 on the spring with 16 hits in 39 trips. He'll get a chance to show more tonight at 6:05 when the Yankees and Orioles tangle. Maryland touchdown in Seattle yesterday as they get set for their Friday afternoon encounter with the Antelopes. Terps are 25-8 on the season with 4 of the 8 on buzzer beaters. Head coach Kevin Willard on lessons learned.
The biggest change I saw on this team was after the Ohio State loss. You know, it's the second buzzer beater. We just come off Northwestern. And they bounced back, and we got on a roll. And then Michigan State happens. And then these guys could have folded up after Michigan State.
Game time, 4:35 p.m. tomorrow. And finally, in honor of the tournament, thought we'd remember some of the great calls of past tournaments. Who can ever forget this call from Gus Johnson back in 2005, Vermont, in a big first-round upset bid over Syracuse.
Down to fundamentals.
Oh, my goodness! Sorrenti hit that one from the parking lot.
Jim Boeheim denied again. Coming up in 30 minutes, let's meet Cooper Rush. And that is Stein on Sports.
Want the truth about investing in retirement? The stuff Wall Street does not want to tell you? What if there were a strategy to capture significant market gains without the risk of traditional markets? Interested? Bill O'Reilly here. Would you like a retirement strategy that allows you to retire with confidence without the fear of running out of money? Then please talk to Rod Barowi and the Safe Retirement Solutions team. 410-266-1120. 410-266-1120.
If you have plans later today, be ready for some rain. The cold front's getting closer. Showers will develop by the afternoon. 68 the high today. Some showers around this evening. We dry out later on tonight. Nice weekend starting tomorrow through Sunday. Plenty of sunshine. Cooler tomorrow, 58. Saturday, a mild day. 66 the high Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What if I can guarantee the price of Bitcoin will be $1 million in 2030? Well, I can't, but I can guarantee you, you'll save a lot of money on blinds at my company, Blindster.com. Free samples, free shipping, and guaranteed to fit. Shop at Blindster.com today.
Hair Volume is the best-selling hair tablet in the world and one of the many award-winning natural hair products from New Nordic. Purchase Hair Volume at NewNordicUSA.com or at CVS.
This is Danny Manoff from Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. Join us on Saturday at 1 o'clock for Justice and Why It Matters to You, our new show to help individuals understand how the legal system works. Look forward to seeing you there.
The Sean Hannity Show.
Hunter lied on a gun application form. Wesley Snipes convicted 3 counts of tax evasion in 2008 for bilking Uncle Sam on taxes up to $15 million. IRS said he owed taxes. He was later sentenced to 3 years in prison. Remember the guy, Jersey Shore star Mike? Yeah. Anyway, 8 month sentence for skirting $2.3 million in taxes. Not Hunter.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, the big topic across the country today, the Department of Education. Is it a good idea to shutter the Department of Education? That's also the poll question at WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Please partake in that poll. I got the latest numbers. We're still at 91% say yes, it's a good idea. 9% say no, even though the number went up of more people that took the poll. And I appreciate you guys taking the poll. We're still at 91-9. Obviously, this is a big topic of conversation. And I, you know, and it's going to be, especially with how much money that's involved. I did want you to take a listen, because this is audio from NBC News. I wanted you to take a listen to what they had to say, and then we'll discuss.
We're coming on the air with breaking news tonight. NBC News has just learned that President Trump plans to sign an executive order closing down the Department of Education. The move fulfilling a campaign promise to shutter the agency, which has long been a target of conservatives. But it's unclear how he'll legally do that, since Congress needs to sign off on officially closing a department of this kind. The order would be the culmination of weeks of effort by the Trump administration to wind down DOE. Trump's education secretary, Linda McMahon, has overseen a roughly 50% cut to the agency's workforce in what she has called the, quote, final mission of the department. The Education Department oversees tens of billions of dollars in grant money to schools across the country. But conservatives for years have said control of education should be returned entirely to the state and local level. They say it would empower parents to make choices about their children's education. For more on this, let's get right to NBC's senior White House correspondent, Garrett Hake, who joins us live tonight from the North Lawn. Garrett, I mean, this just breaking, but walk us through, what do we know about this order at this point?
Yeah, Allison, I'm holding a copy of the fact sheet that will accompany this order when the president signs it tomorrow. It is the culmination of weeks of work from this White House and decades of work within the conservative movement that has long viewed the Department of Education as something of a boogeyman. The order directs the Secretary of Education, in this case, Linda McMahon, to take every necessary step she can to facilitate, this says, the closure of the Department of Education and return education authority to the states. The White House takes some pains through information we've been given from a senior administration official to say things like Title I funding, student loans, and students with disabilities aid won't be touched in this effort. Frankly, Allison, some of this is aspirational. As you pointed out in the lead, it will take an act of Congress to ultimately shut down the Department of Education and transfer its authority back to the states. But the administration can take additional steps, like what they've already done, to, you know, eliminate positions within the department, fire career staff, and try to shift responsibilities elsewhere within the federal government. Now, the president intends to sign this executive order tomorrow here at the White House in a ceremony where he'll be joined by some supportive governors, including from Texas, Florida, and Indiana, where they're champing at the bit to get more of this control at state level. But some of my reporting over the last couple of weeks is that other states are not quite as ready, perhaps, to take over this authority. And so I think what you're seeing here today is an effort by the White House to take the next step in what could still be a quite lengthy process to accomplish this goal of transferring as much as possible of education authority back to the states. I will add one other note that's in this fact sheet suggesting we'll see some language to this effect in the EO, that what's left of the Department of Education, this order says, the funds will not be allowed to advance what they call DEI or gender ideology, another issue that this White House has been intently focused on going back to Inauguration Day.
All right. And that was, there was a little more to that report, but that was the crux of it. You know, I thought that was interesting that the reporter there said that conservatives look at the Department of Education as some kind of boogeyman. I would say the exact opposite. I think we look at it as a man that doesn't really exist, right? It's like, why do we have this department that, from what I could tell, doesn't make sure that the results are there? I mean, if you're thinking about the kids in Baltimore, say, for instance, that can't read, write, or do basic math, and they're pushing them through the school system, and they are graduating, you would think the Department of Education would say, hey, sound the alarm, for some reason, the kids in Baltimore aren't being educated. Let's get the feds in there. Let's figure out what's going on. They don't do that. It's like they have the money, but they don't even provide any oversight. And as noted there, the Trump administration obviously doesn't want this money to go to, you know, the gender ideology conversation and all that, which I like. I don't know how they're going to be able to. I don't know how they're going to facilitate that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how you do that. Because even if you're sending the money back to the states, there's no way that, you know, a state saying, you know, Michigan says, oh, it's not gender ideology that we're teaching. We're teaching, this is just healthcare. You know, like they call abortion healthcare, right? It's like they just come up with a different name. But so I don't think that could actually happen. I like the sentiment. It sounds great. I'll put it on a Hallmark card for you. But I don't think it could happen. But when it comes to the money piece of this, the Department of Education doesn't insure anything. They just house the money. Now, will this hurt states like Maryland? Sure. But what I'm hoping is that, of course, this isn't going to be a fix overnight. I'm looking long term here. This is Maryland, for crying out loud. I do believe that the money will come in. The teachers union, they're going to have their grubby little hands all over, especially with Governor Wes Moore in office, right? Because how many times has he made promises to the teachers union? Many times. How many times do we have Democrat delegates and state senators? They make promises to the teachers union, which is why we're in this mess with the Kerwin Commission or Blueprint, whatever you want to call it, right? So that's going to initially happen. When Governor Moore took office, I don't want anybody to forget about this, and you might remember. He wanted to end the Boost program. Remember that? And then you had a bunch of Democrats, mind you, show up at the State House to protest. And then he put it back in place. But it was the teachers union that was telling him, you got to end this whole voucher school choice kind of stuff. You know, yeah, we don't get down with that because that's taking money away from us. And so I think that will end up also on the table. Again, the good news is there are many Democrats that are wholeheartedly involved with the Boost program, and they will make noise if he takes that off the table. So they will most likely be on our side. I say our, you know, the Republican side, when that conversation comes to a head, because you know it's coming. But beyond that, I think people will then see that a lot of this money will go to administrative costs, as it already is in the state, to be honest with you. But even more, we'll still see very little results when it comes to the kids being educated. If they get this blueprint thing through, which they most likely will, and we'll have to pay for it, even those of us that don't have kids in public school will still pay for it. But when it gets through, we're going to see the class sizes increase. Remember, that's part of this too. You're going to have larger class sizes with one teacher. Right now, from my understanding, the middle school class sizes aren't as bad. But once this is fully implemented, they've already noted that it's going to get worse. They also talked about recruiting teachers. Now, if you're the governor and you're the teachers union, you would look at this money from the Department of Education and say, okay, maybe we can pay teachers a bit more, especially those that we can bring in from out of state. The problem is you're passing like the highway use tax, the snack tax, you know, all these other taxes. You're going to have a lot of teachers say, is it worth it? I wonder if they can get them in. Because again, there's no incentive to actually come to the state of Maryland. Now, could they live in Delaware or these other states and get a break there? Sure. And then maybe they'll have a higher salary here because of that money coming from the Department of Education. That could be. Will we then get teachers that might teach more about the curriculum, you know, regular social studies, sciences and things like that, rather than all this gender stuff? Possibly. But we don't know what the recruitment looks like, right? We don't know what this looks like. They could end up wanting to recruit teachers that do teach those types of things. And if you're looking at House Bill 161, and don't forget, that goes to the floor today in the Senate. Thanks again to Delegate LaToya Cogolo for always raising the alarm on that. But House Bill 161, that meeting happens at 1 o'clock today in the Senate. I hope some of you were able to sign up to testify, and hopefully you're on your way to Annapolis now to testify and hopefully get this kicked out of there. But if we're putting in bills like that, and again, that was Vanessa Atterbury from PG County, I think, you know, that's what they want. They want this whole thing with, and they're calling it comprehensive health education framework. You see, that's what I believe they would call, you know, call it when they're talking about, oh, no DEI money, no, you know, gender ideology money. They're just going to change the name of it. They're very good at doing that. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. Like I said, the only silver lining here is you're going to have that boost program that's going to be up for grabs. Democrats are not going to be happy. And you're going to have, I would think, administrators making more money at a time where constituents are being taxed much more and still dealing with the energy costs. That's the only way this comes to a head. Now, some people are asking, will the executive order be able to stand? You've got all these liberal judges now that are, you know, balking at everything because they're part of the resistance. Sure, there's going to be some back and forth. There is. So it probably won't all happen within the year, I would think, because there's going to be some back and forth. And there will be some appeals and, you know, all that stuff. But I think it's going to eventually shutter. There's no really solid reason or debate. There's no points that will tell you, oh, yes, we must have the Department of Education. Like I said, they provide no oversight. It's just a place where they house money. I got Scott in Ellicott City. Scott, what say you?
First off, Atterbury is from the county that I live in. How weird county.
Oh. Thank you on that one.
That's quite all right. Listen, I saw Secretary Bennett on the news this morning, William Bennett, he was the Secretary of Education under Reagan. And he said something that really kind of solidified in my mind why the Department of Education has to go. He said that the scores, he wouldn't put something out like this unless, you know, he's a pretty straightforward guy. He said the school scores, and he had them up on the screen, the school scores reading and math in 2023, I think it's the most recent year, or perhaps 24, but I think it was 23. He said they are identical to what they were in 1979 when the DOE was open. So his point, and I agree with him 100%, is, you know, turning it back to the states is one thing. You have those clowns down in Annapolis that will, and the thing to do is to turn it to the parents, because the parents are going to utilize it through vouchers, and they're going to put their children in good schools, which means that they're going to have the money to pay a good salary to teachers. So that's my two cents word. And before I go, I have met you a couple times. I have been a supporter of yours, met you at fundraisers and whatnot. You're doing a great job on the air. Oh,
thank you. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you. And thank you for sharing that as well. You don't really need this department. And I also, on top of what Scott just shared with us, I wanted to just let you know, when President Trump got into office, there were 4,133 employees at the Department of Education. We did hear about him slicing that number in half. But also, just so you know, and this comes from NPR, by the way, that's where I'm reading this. NPR states that nearly 600 workers, once Trump got in office, they chose to leave by resigning or retiring. So again, 4,000, and then you had 600 that left on their own. And then we found out last week with Secretary Linda McMahon and others, they slashed that number then down to 50%. So when you're thinking about, you know, how many people here that would be out of a job, it's honestly not that many. I know there's a lot of uproar. Oh, looks like I got a friend here, Delegate Bob Long. Delegate, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Kim?
Doing well.
Down here in the weeds, just working hard. I'll just give you an update. We're going to be hearing the BRFA this afternoon and voting on it in my committee in Ways and Means.
Oh, nice. Nice. What are you expecting to see today?
I know what I'm hoping for, but I'm open to see anything. I hope we don't have to raise taxes. And, you know, unfortunately, I believe that's the reality. I'll be voting against it, of course. We can't afford to just keep taxing away, you know, out of this situation.
Yeah, well, first of all, Doug, we appreciate you and everybody, all the Republicans there that are fighting against this. You know, let me ask you, because you got this insight here, you know, what is it that the Democrats are saying? You know, because I'm sure their constituents are calling and emailing them. Do they understand how much of a burden all this will be?
Well, apparently they don't, because they keep pushing it. And the sad part of it is, you know, we don't have to have all these new taxes and fees raised because of the way the blueprint's written. They could set it back for a year. You know, the last thing we need right now is more taxes and fees. My gas and electric bill, we just got a notice that our budget bill's going up $130. I mean, enough is enough.
Sheesh, delegate. Yes, and that's another piece of this, because I'm sure they're getting the same bills, but I guess for them, it's just more important to get that blueprint through. And that's what we were talking about with the Department of Education. Is there any, I guess, chatter about the shuttering of the department today?
I haven't heard anything. I think the bottom line is we need to reel in our budget. You know, we can't just keep taxing our way through this. I originally voted against the blueprint because we knew it was going to be costly and we couldn't afford it. But as you see, we're right where we were.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Delegate Bob Long, thank you so much for fighting the good fight. We'll keep our eye on it. And please call in and join the show anytime. We appreciate you.
Yeah, just keep us in your prayers because we're definitely fighting down here, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a good day up there as best you can. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. And drive safely. Again, that's Delegate Bob Long. You see, that there are people there that get it. I just wish we weren't in the minority, right? When we get back, I'm going to go to the poll question of the day, look at what you are saying about the Department of Education. I also have some text messages I would like to read to you as well. And then don't forget, at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by David Jones. He is in Curtis Bay, and he's obviously an advocate for what's going on over there, but most importantly, a resident and somebody that is dealing with the pollution and everything that's going on in that area. And yet, he's hearing from the governor and others how important the climate change initiatives are. And that's also going to cost us taxpayers $1 billion. So we're going to talk to David Jones coming up at 11 o'clock as well.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store. And have you tried the over-the-counter products for your foot pain and nothing seems to work? If that's you, it's time to check out the Good Feet Store. Stop the pain that's stopping you. Visit goodfeet.com to book your appointment today or just stop by the store nearest you.
What if they can guarantee the prices of Bitcoin will be $1 million in 2030? Well, they can't. But they can guarantee you'll save a lot of money on blinds at their company, Blindster.com. Free samples, free shipping, and guaranteed to fit. Shop at Blindster.com today.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
Morning Drive with Casey and Elliot.
There are men and there are women. There's an XX chromosome, a woman, and an XY chromosome, a man. That's it. And anything else, they are mutations.
You have a very, very slight chance.
That's it. That's it. You can feel like anything else you want. You can claim that you're anything else you want, but that's it.
The Morning Drive, 6 to 9 with Casey and Elliot on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're keeping our eye on the Department of Education today. And also, thank you, Delegate Bob Long, the BRFA as well. They're having that vote today. You know, there's a lot of things on the schedule here. Also, remember that House Bill 161, that's going on the Senate floor today at 1 o'clock. It looks like they've got a few bills that they're going to be hearing testimony from today. You know what? I don't even recognize some of these bills, but guess what? I will figure it out so we can have a further discussion about this. Right now at WCBM.com, our question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Is shuttering the Department of Education a good idea? 94% of you say yes. Now 6% of you say no. Please partake in that poll if you will, because, of course, this is going to affect you. And remember, even if you don't have any kids, remember, these are your property taxes, okay? I just want to make sure, don't tune out when you're hearing about education. Also, the kids that live in your neighborhood, I don't know about you, but I want them educated as well. I don't want them standing on the corner selling drugs. I want them to be upstanding citizens. I want them to have the best education possible. And even though my daughter goes to private school, which is another price that we pay, I'm fine as long as the public education system is working. I'm fine with it. I mean, would I prefer school choice? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't think we're going to get it anytime soon. I did want to note, again, that Department of Education executive order is supposed to be signed at 4 o'clock. I'm watching Newsmax 2 here in the studio. And Tom Homan, along with Governor Ron DeSantis, they're hosting a discussion, a roundtable in Sarasota about immigration and what they're hoping to do here by the end of the year. Now, remember, DeSantis is going to be at that EO signing at 4 p.m., so I guess he leaves there and gets right on the plane. I just note that because not only is his wife, Casey DeSantis, supposed to run for governor here coming up against Congressman Byron Donalds, I do believe that Governor Ron DeSantis is going to run again in 2028. And I know there are a lot of people already talking about J.D. Vance. I am, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Many of you might not agree, but I am a Marco Rubio fan. I am. Would I like to see him run in 2028? Absolutely. His foreign policy is spot on all of the time. And I just don't think with, the conversations that Trump is having with Vladimir Putin or Zelensky or even what's going on in Israel, I just don't think we're going to be done with that by the time that President Trump leaves office. I think that there's still going to be a lot of open doors there. And I don't know about you, but I want somebody that knows exactly what to do in those situations. So that's why I'm all supportive of Marco Rubio. Again, coming up next, we're going to be joined by David Jones of Curtis Bay. This is one of those updates. He says that there has been some movement. Also, the crime and violence in that area. Remember, that's where they had the Brooklyn Day Massacre. He said that there's an update there as well with the gun violence reduction strategy that Mayor Brandon Scott talks about all of the time. And then after we speak to David, I'm going to get to this lie that Senator Angela Alsobrooks told. I don't know about her, man. I thought she was a little more moderate, especially being from PG County. But boy, was I wrong. I was wrong about her. I was wrong about Delegate Kim Ross. I hate being wrong. Gosh, why do you guys do this to me? Can't you just get in office and do the right thing? Is it that hard? How much are you getting paid to do the wrong thing? I'm just kidding. All right, coming up next, we'll talk to David Jones. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for